We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Finally back for Wings post game right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia's Outside the Box podcast. Kyle Bennett, Alex on 11th with you from the press box as the Wings lose in overtime 12-11 to the Buffalo Bandits. Not ideal, Alex. Not ideal.
Not ideal at all, especially since like this game started off really, really, really like energized, full of momentum. They were playing super well and it just really fell off at the end of both halves. Like, they came out strong and couldn't finish.
Fortnite Friday. So the place was rocking, you know, over 10,000 people again. The attendance is always up when we're at Wells Fargo Center. But, like you said, at the end of the second half, they kind of let in some unnecessary goals. And then overtime happens. And as soon as that hit, we were kind of just like that Stitch gif, like pulling our eyes down and... It was probably the longest overtime we've seen, too. It went almost 5 minutes, but goal goes in, and Chase Frazier puts up 4 goals today, and that's what helps the Buffalo Bandits win this one.
That's what helps the Buffalo Bandits be the best team in the league.
Yeah, that's the reason they're the only team with double-digit wins right now. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, this game helped them clinch a playoff spot, and this game essentially ends the Wings' playoff hopes. They're 2-9 with 7 games left to play. They have to win out in order to even have a chance. Just looking at the stats from tonight's game, Matt Rambo started off well. He had a goal and 2 assists to finish out this one. Your leading points getter for the Wings, Kevin Crowley, 2 goals, 4 assists, and we'll get into Kevin in just a little bit. Jordan Hall had a nice game outside of getting clotheslined.
Twice
by the Bandits. He has a goal and 3 assists in this one. Frank Brown returns to the floor with 2 goals. Looked healthy as he has all season. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk to Frank in the post-game press conference. Justin Gutterding gets his first career NLL goal and 2 more assists. And that kind of sums up the scoring. Kyle Matisse also with a goal and 2 assists. But the Wings did pretty much everything right outside of letting this Buffalo team back in it late.
I think it was really disappointing to see, like I mentioned previously, how they started so, so well. Both halves, really. I mean, they came out in the first, they came out in the third, just ready. Like, they looked like they wanted to win this game, and their momentum quickly fell off, and they just really couldn't follow through at the end of the first 30 and the end of the second 30.
Yeah, they looked like, hey, you know, our playoff hopes are on the line. We got to go out there and win this game to just keep, you know, a meaning behind the season. Mm-hmm. And they had it in the first. They had it in the third. And then towards the end of the fourth quarter, things started slipping away. And I think a lot of it was from the kind of like lesser called penalties that went against Buffalo. You know, the Jordan Hall clothesline kind of sticks out to me. We were talking in the media room before the press conferences, and we all thought that should have been like a 5-minute major penalty.
Absolutely.
It only ends up being a 2-minute minor. So I think that kind of hurt too, where they were disappointed that they didn't get the result from the penalty that they were expecting, and that kind of killed some momentum just behind them, thinking, oh, we're going to get a huge penalty off of this and have more time to kind of be on an advantage, and then they don't get it. It's tough to explain why they can't close games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in regard to the Jordan Hall penalty, though, you can't let those things, like, mm-hmm. upset you. And I know it really, really stinks, and if things aren't called fairly, it really draws emotion, and you want to bring so much into this game, and it really hinders that, but you have to carry on. And it just seemed like when things like that were happening, they weren't getting the desired penalties, or they weren't getting a penalty at all. It breaks your confidence a little bit. It's like, why am I even playing this game? But you have to power through it. At the end of the day, there's a big picture, and tonight it didn't seem like they were looking at it.
And the crazy part is the Wings had more power play opportunities than Buffalo did tonight. Wings had 6 power play chances, mm-hmm. only capitalized on 2. Power play continues to be a struggle for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. They just don't play well on the man advantage or multi-man advantage. Buffalo goes 2-4 on the power play, so they convert 50%.
50% of which were due to Kevin Crowley, thanks.
Yeah, Kevin Crowley goes to the box twice, once for roughing and the other time for a holding stick.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Charbonneau goes to the box for holding. Ryan Wagner for an illegal cross-check. And then Liam Patton went in late for a hooking penalty. So the penalties were a factor in this one because you take away 2 power play opportunities for Buffalo, and the Wings win in regulation.
Absolutely. My only thing is I don't feel too crazy about the penalties that Crowley took. I think they were, I don't want to say pulled out of thin air, but definitely pulled from somewhere. They weren't as prevalent as Jordan Hall being dragged mm-hmm. to the ground by his neck. Roughing, hockey, lacrosse, whatever it is, I think is a little bit of a dumb penalty if you don't give it to both people, because everyone is roughing in that situation. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a rough sport. I think it's a dumb call, but.
And then, you know, we had goalies getting beat up tonight. Doug Buchan twice, kind of getting involved in scraps. One of them gets called for a penalty against Durston from Buffalo for goalie interference. Doug was kind of able to play it off a little bit more than what it was. Good by him to help his team out there. But there was another play down on the closer end to where we're sitting right now, and Doug was, like, getting thrown to the ground by somebody, and I was mm-hmm. like, is Doug about to drop his gloves and start fighting?
I thought so for a minute, honestly. I thought we were about to see a lacrosse goalie fight. I thought they were going to charge at each other. But, I mean, Doug did a really great job of kind of, I don't want to say embellishing, but embellishing mm-hmm. that one a little bit and making it seem a lot worse. He kind of stayed down. He rolled around on the ground for a little bit. And I think the team doctor came out and everything. And
he was able to stay in the game,
too. He got up, shook it off, and was like, all right, game time.
Yeah, and it could have been just, you know, he maybe got the wind knocked out of him or something like that.
Maybe,
or kind of just one of those little neck stingers. Because when we saw the close-up, they were checking his neck out. And then we were kind of, you know, nervous, like, oh, geez, here we go. Like,
mm-hmm. But then when we saw the replay, we were like, oh.
Yeah, it was a lot less of a concern than we thought it was going to be. Which is good, because you don't want your starting goalie to be hurt.
Absolutely.
Especially
one who's been performing as strongly as Buchan has.
He's had quality games outside of the one in New England where he got pulled early because he was playing back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
He's played well the past probably month.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And Paul said that in the press conference today. You know, he's happy with the way he's playing the goalie position. But Paul was pissed.
He was not
a
happy man. No.
In that press conference. You know, he's thinking about what he's going to say, saying that he's got to choose his words right. The biggest quote of the season, saying, this isn't school. You know, I'm tired of talking about learning. We don't have rookies on this team anymore. We've played 10 weeks. This is professional lacrosse, not school.
I mean, he has a point. Mm-hmm. We've hit that point in the season where you've made the mistakes. You've watched yourself make the mistakes. You've learned from it. Why are you still making the mistakes? I mean, this team, week after week, they can't carry through, and they can't, like, I don't even know, they can't ice the cake, whatever it is, they can't do it, and they can't just finish it off.
Yeah, and it seems like every press conference following a loss, it's a player or it's Paul Day saying, we have to learn how to win, and we got that again from Frank Brown tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, we're at that point in the season where we should be knowing how to win games mm-hmm. by now, and you know,
I mean, once you win a game, you no longer have to learn how to win. You know how to win.
You have 2 under your belt this season.
You don't have to learn anymore. You just can't do it. And I don't know what is happening to where you can't follow through like you did in two prior games. But it's beyond learning. It's there's a functionality problem.
And, you know, this team was off for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So they were fresh coming into this one. Obviously, we talked about Frank Brown coming back from injury. He talked about being the healthiest he's been all year. Paul Day said the same thing. He got treatment from Inspira, you know, for the time that he was off. And then the two bye weeks, they were working out at Inspira, the whole team that was, you know, staying local and everything. So they were getting treatment around the clock almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And for someone who's been out for so long, I mean, everyone's a little rusty coming off a bye week. Frank has been out for 5 weeks now, easily one of the most noticeable players on the turf.
He played phenomenal. He was absolutely one of the bright spots of tonight, and that's why he was one of the stars of the game, too, that we got to pick again.
Woo!
We'll get into those at the end of the show, but I think it was big having Frank back. You know, I think
absolutely
he was, you know, just a positive momentum shift when they needed it. He was controlling the floor all night when he was out there, and he contributed two big goals that
he definitely were made needed. He definitely made his presence known, and he was making everyone well aware of why he was missed. And it's good when you can come back and triumph the way he did.
And, you know, he was introduced as a transition player tonight, but he's that one of those veteran defenders that this team has that they need out there night in and night out when they're playing games to really just kind of grab a stranglehold of the younger guys and say, hey, this is how we have to go out there and perform. Like,
absolutely.
Frank, I think, goes about things the right way. He comes to the press conference, you know, in a button-down shirt and dress pants. Like,
no socks, though.
He's a professional. And he just, I think he goes about things the right way. He's one of the leaders on this team. And he's like a lead by example type of guy.
Absolutely.
Not really vocal as some of the other guys are, but he's a guy that, you know, these younger guys need to kind of gravitate towards as this season dwindles down, you know, seven games left, and just really stay to the nines about focus, about kind of just finishing and doing what you need to do to win, because for whatever reason, like we said, they just haven't learned how to consistently win.
I mean, I'm not going to throw the blame all on one person, but if you take a look at, like, Matt Rambo's game, he was excellent in the beginning. He started off, he was playing really well, he was playing really smart, thinking out everything, but acting on his feet at the same time, and that seemed to disintegrate as quick as the seconds were going, and we can't have that happening. And Matt's a great player, and I hate to see him going through any type of growing pains, but he's new. He's a quote-unquote not rookie. And, I mean, I'm okay with giving him leeway if Coach Day isn't. I'm okay with letting him shake off the rust a little bit. He's going to be rustier out of a bye week.
And he's one of those guys that, you know, we've talked with Paul and even with Matt himself. He's learning the box game. He's a field player by trade, and he's learning this box game week in and week out, and I think he's gotten better as this season's gone on, and we've seen it from his production.
Absolutely.
He continues to, you know, put goals in the net. He's assisting goals more regularly now, where earlier in the season it was just kind of one or two goals, no assists. Now he's able to kind of find guys on the floor and help them score. He's become a key part of this team.
Absolutely.
Now and moving forward, even as a first-year player.
I would agree with that, and I think it'll be nice to see him find his feet permanently. I mean, he's still one of those players that's just feeling his way around, and once he's comfortable in what he's doing, he's going to be awesome.
And I think as soon as current Buffalo Bandit Chris Kluche was traded, we kind of figured out that Matt Rambo's more than just a role player on this team.
Absolutely.
He's kind of become one of their go-to guys to score, and that's what this team needs. They need to figure out who those go-to guys are other than Kevin Crowley and Kyle Matisse that are going to be able to pick up the pace when those guys aren't on. And I think Matt Rambo is one of them. I think Josh Currier is one of them. And I think the only guy we can still consider a rookie, like you said, Justin Gutterding, is becoming one of those guys too. You know, he scores his first goal of his career tonight.
Oh my God. I mean, from a photographer's perspective, that celebration was priceless. He was so excited. I mean, you could feel the energy. I was down up against the glass when it happened, and it was awesome. I was happy I got to shoot it. I was happy I got to witness it. I mean, you could really feel the emotion from him and how excited he was to just get that opportunity. I'm really happy for him, and I can't wait to watch him blossom into the player I know he can be.
And we have the American connection with him and Matt Rambo. They just continue to just build a chemistry that works.
Yeah.
And I'm all here for it. You know, another assist from Justin tonight on Matt's goal. Mm-hmm. That's four of Matt's goals that Justin has assisted in his two games with the Wings that he's played in. And, you know, if it's working, keep it going. Keep those guys out on the floor at the same time and build that chemistry and make sure that Justin is a key cog in this wheel of mm-hmm. moving this team forward. And I think he's been a well-welcomed addition to this team, even though he's only been on the roster for three games.
Absolutely. And he's, like I said earlier, he's one of those players that once he meshes well with the rest of the team, he'll be great. And I think the budding bromance between him and Rambo is going to be quite the beauty.
And it's funny, too, because Justin is also a field player by trade. He's the all-time leader in goals scored in NCAA history.
Oh, wow.
When he played for Duke. So he's also learning this box game just like Matt is. So for mm-hmm. them to kind of have that connection as well from their field experience coming into the box and learning it that way, I think is just big for both of their developments as box players.
And it's nice that they have someone to do it with,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Kevin Crowley tonight leads the team in points. He was supposed to be in the post-game press conference, but didn't come out for, you know, frustration reasons, I assume. And
which is fair, but you have to hope that while he was frustrated, he stopped to take a look in the mirror because mm-hmm. it's a team sport, and he wasn't really... I don't know. He didn't put his best foot forward towards the end of the game.
Yeah, and I mean, you hinted at it earlier with the two penalties that he did end up getting, whether they were warranted or not. They were big factors in this game, and I just think Kevin wasn't as sharp as we've seen him all season tonight. This might have been, although he led the team in points, it wasn't his best performance just from an overall playing standpoint. You would see him with the ball, and he's holding on to it too long.
Yeah, from a team perspective, he wasn't playing a team sport tonight. Mm-hmm. He looked like he wanted points for himself.
Yeah, and I don't know what that motive was, whether it was our assumed theory that he and Chris Kluche didn't get along, and that's why Chris was traded. And obviously Chris comes out and scores two goals tonight. But, you know, that was one kind of sign of concern that I had, was seeing Kevin kind of just being a lone ranger tonight rather than the team player that we know him to be.
I mean, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he was able to predict this game slipping a little bit, and he was like, all right, I got to take matters into my mm-hmm. own hands. That's what I'm going to say happened. Week after week, you're losing, and it has to get frustrating. He was probably just like, you know what, I have to do this. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. However, they play better when they play as a team. And if you're playing as a team, you're passing the ball, you're not worried about who's scoring, you're just worried about the scoreboard, I feel like the time goes quicker. You don't realize that your momentum is dropping, and it's easier to play the whole 60 minutes if you don't have the whole team on your back.
Definitely. And I think a couple things that stood out to me tonight, too, was one of the more quiet players tonight that is usually in the stat sheet is Steph Charbonneau. He's an offensive, defensive player. He's mm-hmm. usually scoring goals or getting assists, and you didn't hear his name called once, so that was a little bit of, you know, a letdown from that perspective where you didn't get the contribution from Steph. But Anthony Joakim stepped up, scored a goal. He's been one of their more consistent defenders this year as well, along with Steph. So it was nice to see Anthony kind of get himself going early in this one. And mm-hmm. then, like you said, he was kind of like Matt Rambo, where it was early, great performance, and then kind of just disappeared. And you can't have that on a team that only has two wins and is kind of just fighting to keep their season alive.
Absolutely. You have to. I mean, we can't stress this enough. Maybe it's just a Philadelphia thing. I mean, you have to play the duration of the game, and it just didn't look like the Wings wanted to do that tonight.
Yeah, and Anthony said that in the press conference tonight, too.
You know, we did not play a full 60.
Yeah, and we had to play a full 60-plus tonight, and we mm-hmm. just didn't come out and do that, and we have to figure out how to do that. And that's one concern I have, too, is just the constant reiteration of we have to learn how to do this. And then, of course, like we said, Paul came out and said, this isn't school. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm tired of talking about learning.
Yeah, at what point do you go from learning to doing?
Right. and it's just taking matters into your own hands. Obviously, they only have one sanctioned practice a week, but you have almost half the team that lives here. Go practice things that you need to work on together. Mm-hmm. Don't do it individually. Like, I think the bye week was big for them to kind of just being able to work out together. And we saw that early. I think there was a lot of, you know, cohesion with everybody mm-hmm. that was on the floor. And then I don't know if it was just, you know, injuries. Paul talked about two guys went down with hamstrings in this game. I'm not exactly sure who that was, but I'm sure we'll find out this week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When he gives his daily, you know, press or conference call and gives his injury updates. But it's something where they just need to figure this out, not only for the duration of this season, but going forward. And Frank said it too, you know, we can't use that excuse that we're an expansion team anymore.
Yeah, I mean, with the season being as short as it is, like, I think once you get over the first half of the season, you're not an expansion team anymore. You played together.
Right.
You played the duration of half a season. I mean,
the expansion teams are in New York and Halifax, mm-hmm. so even though Halifax is a rebrand of a team, but those are the expansion teams now. They haven't played a game. You've played 10, and, you know, you're fighting to kind of keep your season alive. As we look at the standings now, following tonight's game, the only game that was played tonight in the league, Buffalo 10-2 after tonight's win. Toronto 7-2. They play tomorrow. Georgia's 8-4. They play Buffalo tomorrow in Buffalo, so that'll be an interesting game. New England is 7-4. They're on a bye week. Rochester's 2-8, and they're on a bye week. And the Wings are now 2-9. So this game was big in a lot of ways, where you take a game from the best team in the league and you had the potential to jump Rochester in the standings and be out of the basement of the Eastern Division for the first time all year.
It was an important one that they just couldn't keep hold of, which was disappointing, honestly. I mean, I don't know. I feel like when we're in when we're in post-game conferences, you can feel how bad they want this. Mm-hmm. And it's just like there's some kind of disconnect somewhere where they can't work together and figure that out. And just that's the disappointing part, is you really want the best for this team because you know that they want it also. It just doesn't seem that they can do it season.
They have that itch and that desire to win and mm-hmm. get over this, you know, hump that keeps knocking them down, but they just can't figure out what's continually knocking them down, like you said. And right now that's what they need to figure out. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this thing that's not allowing us to close out games? Because that's what it is. They can't close.
The close is the huge problem. And I do think it's worth noting that each game that they won, correct me if I'm wrong, but they closed with a different goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not taking anything from Buchan in any way, but I think that kind of gives the team a wake-up call. I don't think it's Buchan, but I do think that they're like, oh, bleep.
Yeah.
Like, something's happening. Our goalie's getting pulled. Like, we need to figure this out.
We need
out.
To step up now. And
I think it's the kick in the butt that they need. And when they don't have it, they don't win.
And that's unfortunate for Doug because, like we said, he's been playing well this past month.
You can't pull him just to wake up the rest of the team.
Right. And it's not fair to him when he's putting up performances like he did tonight. Like, he was making some of his better saves of the season tonight.
Absolutely.
And he was, you know, all over that goalie box and kind of just diving, giving up his body. And it was one of the more admirable performances we've seen from Doug all year long. And for him to not be able to come away with a win stinks. But Mike McKenna from the Lehigh Valley Phantoms/Flyers shouting Alex out.
Woo!
It just stinks to see that they just can't continually get on a roll, and I don't know what it's going to take for this team. We talked about it in the media room too, that the trade deadline is Monday, and I talked to Paul on the shortest press conference or conference call of all time on Wednesday, and he said he doesn't anticipate any major moves, but he's never going to say never. And after today, I don't know if that'll change his mood or...
I mean, what would you honestly, like, what is ideal for you? What would you like to see them pick up by Monday?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is the defense. We've continually seen where this defense is so young, and they just, I think that's a big issue where there's not that veteran voice where You brought in Kyle Matisse in the expansion draft. You brought in Kevin Crowley via trade this season. And you brought in a young veteran in Ryan Wagner, but he's also 24 years old. So I think they're missing that experienced veteran voice in the defensive room, where they need somebody that has been there before, has won before. I don't know if they can get that. I don't know where they would get that, but
I don't know where they would look, but I do know that something's missing. There's a trailblazer missing from this team, and it's nice that we have Kevin, and it's nice that we have Kyle, but we don't have anyone that really amps the team up, and that's important.
Yeah, and I mean, some nights it's Blaze, but, you know, he's also a young veteran in this league. And
absolutely, but Blaze is awesome, honestly.
Yeah, Blaze is great for this team.
I did want to point out earlier when we were talking about different players, like, he was quiet tonight.
Yeah.
But he is, he's awesome. He's a good player, and he is another one of those lead-by-examples type people. So.
And he's also vocal, and we've seen that in post-game press conferences this season where he just steps up to the mic and gives you...
He'll answer anything.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's awesome, and I think he could grow into that leader, but right now he isn't. I don't think he's hit that veteran status to where he can be the vet leader that's wise and knows all the right answers, but he's doing well.
Yeah, I think Blaze is an important part of this team moving forward. I think he's kind of in that category with, you know, Matt Rambo and Josh Currier and those guys, where he contributes frequently, but he's not going to be a guy that you rely on to put up, you know, four goals a night each and every night that they're playing. But I think he is a key part to this team, and I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, Blaze was, all pun intended, fired up in the locker room after this one, kind of just like, you know, ripping into to people, because that's his personality. You know, he gets fired up when they lose, and it's not in a sense where, you know, he's hyped up. It's just he's frustrated, and we've seen that from him. He wants to win, I think, more than anybody on this team. And when they don't win, I think it takes a toll on him, just kind of frustration-wise. And, you know, he was the one that put in the game-winning goal for their first win of the season. You saw the excitement from him jumping
awesome.
Into the boards and just going nuts. But when they lose, he is noticeably frustrated. And I feel for guys like Blaze in situations like this where you just want to, you have that itch to win so badly, and you just can't get over the hump.
I do too, but at the same time, like, how come Blaze kind of gets that leeway and Crowley doesn't?
Right.
I mean, some nights you let your frustration get to you, other nights you don't. We wanted to talk to Crowley tonight, we didn't want to talk to Blaze, but what if we did? Well, like, would he have done the same thing?
Right.
You don't know.
It's going to be interesting come Monday if any moves come down. Like we said, we got to pick the stars of the game, the official stars. So star number 3 went to Kevin Crowley. Star number 2 went to Chase Frazier from Buffalo. And star number 1 went to Frank Brown, making his official return with 2 goals. And I think
huge kudos to him.
He was a big factor in them getting this game to go to overtime and kind of just keeping the guys in it. So big hats off to Frank. And, you know, if he can stay healthy for the rest of the season, I think that's a pickup in itself for this team moving forward. But they're going to have to figure something out as they head to San Diego next week. Going out west is never easy for any sport.
Where
you get that time change from being in the Eastern time zone. San Diego's a quality team. They're the other quote-unquote expansion team this season, but they're winning games, so there's no real excuse for the expansion team tag. When
I was going to say, it'd be interesting to walk in there and blame a loss on being the expansion team.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to watch. On the final note of this game, Chris Cloutier came back to Philly for the first time since the trade. Good to see Chris. You know, he was always good to us when he was here, always
Absolutely.
Treated us with respect, and he puts up 2 goals in his old home arena and 1 assist, so he gets a win. He's on a playoff team, so we've always wished the best for Chris since the trade happened and when he was here too, so it's always good to see Chris. Unfortunately, those goals weren't in a Wings uniform, but we'll see what happens. And
I mean, if you have a better chemistry with a different team, I wish you the best.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad because fans were booing him a little bit.
Yeah.
I felt bad he didn't have a say in the trade, and if he did, we don't know about it.
Yeah.
So
I thought the booing was a little just unwarranted.
It's a little over the top. I mean, he was booed before he even scored. He was booed before he did anything game changing. So I felt bad for him, honestly.
And it wasn't like, you know, he was forcing a trade out of here. It just kind of happened. It was one of those things that was just out of the blue.
Yeah, he didn't leave on bad terms either. He just was a quiet player here, and this league, this season goes so quickly, you don't have time for quiet players.
Yeah, it's a week-to-week league, like Paul said earlier this year, and 1 week you're here, 1 week you're not. Mm-hmm. And we could potentially see that come Monday with any type of shake-up across the league.
I think we'll see something.
And I think tonight's loss kind of put a stamp on that, where he's going to try to find somebody for this team, whether it's just for the rest of this season or moving forward, to kind of figure out what that, you know, missing piece is, and whether it's defense, whether it's another scoring option, we'll see. But that's Monday at 3 p.m. and Seals on Saturday next week will be an interesting game to watch, as the Wings kind of drowning right now when it comes to a playoff spot. They're 2-9, like we said, and it's only going to get tougher from here because they get that West Coast stretch at the end of the season. So doesn't look promising when it comes to a playoff berth in their first season back, but
anything can happen.
Exactly. but I think that's going to do it for this edition of Outside the Box right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia, live from Wells Fargo Center. Want to thank Alex for jumping on the show this week with Brooke doing her thing. And we'll be back with another preview week during the week this week with myself and Herm. And then we'll have a post game with myself and Herm following that San Diego game. And next time we're back at Wells Fargo Center, March 23rd, against the Black Wolves, another rivalry matchup. Should be a fun one. Only two games left here at Wells Fargo Center for the season. It's sad for us, but we got some other things in the works here at Wells Fargo Center that we're announcing soon, so stay tuned. But for everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, for Alex, I'm Kyle, and we are signing off. Peace.